Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that there is indeed a word from the Lord, and we're excited about the fact that God chose today and chose this moment to use us for the building of the kingdom. I'm so grateful that He loves us enough to have entrusted us with the word. Before we go too far, though, we want to go ahead to our announcements and prayer so that we can start off right. Amen. And trust nobody other at this point than my lovely wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Prophetess.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Once again, welcome to the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are very pleased that you have taken time, amen, out of your schedule to join us here to begin to learn more about the Lord, amen, open up our hearts to receive from Him, amen. And we just want to thank you for supporting Christ the King Redemptive Ministries throughout the years. In the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with none other than Apostle McQueen. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. For any of you that would like Apostle McQueen or myself for ministerial engagements, any information, or just for someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, while you are on our webpage, there's a contact page. As you click there and scroll down, you will see all the information there for ministerial engagements. As I said before, leave as much detailed information as you can, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. As much detailed information, or as much information, amen, as you can. And we will touch and agree with you, believing God for you and your situation. Please even pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to push the gospel and spread it around the world. For those of you who would like to know, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. Please go to our web pages there and like us there. Leave some shout outs and praise reports as well. We want to know what God is doing in your lives. Those are the announcements for this evening. Amen. God bless you. Come on, let us look to the Lord for prayer. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, there's no one like you. There's no one before you. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We come, God, right now, humbling ourselves at your feet. Father, we lay aside the day We thank you for the day. We thank you. This is the day that you have made. We have rejoiced. We are glad in it. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your love, your kindness, your strength, your mercy, your guidance. Father, even now as we begin to delve into this word, as we prepare our hearts to listen, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our eyes to see, Father, we ask in Jesus' name right now to wash us from all our iniquity. Wash us clean. Forgive us for every sin, sin of omission and commission. Cleanse our minds in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse our hearts in the blood of Jesus. God, make us like ministers of fire. God, set us on fire for your word. Set us on fire to live right for you. Set us on fire for the mission that you have called each and every one of us to. Set us on fire to live a life of righteousness before your people in the name of Jesus. Father, even now as we come before you, I'm asking that you would begin to stir up those that have been in the back, God. Stir up those that have been in obscurity. Begin to stir the hearts and the minds of your people now in the name of Jesus, calling them to call on your name, putting the watchmen and watchwomen back in on their posts. In the name of Jesus, Father, right now we call forth the men and women, the sons and daughters who have gone through the process, who will just stay on the operation table, who will stay on the wheel to say, God, whatever you want to do, have your way. Anything that is not like you, take it out of us now in the name of Jesus. Anything that was not cause giving you the glory, anything that is not causing our lives to be righteous, to shine forth the light of Christ, Father, we say take it out now by the blood of Jesus. Lay the axe at the root of our hearts today in Jesus' name. Father, right now I'm asking that your people, you would begin to raise them up now strong, a mighty army, God, that's going forth out into the darkness, claiming salvation, God, calling those who are not saved to be saved, calling forth, calling what is unrighteous, God, casting the devil out, God, bringing forth your name, glory in the earth, in the name of Jesus. Father, right now we thank you. Crown the apostles' head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, let them bring forth the word on tonight. Let it bring forth in clarity and in power. In Jesus' name, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen.
And amen. We're so grateful for that prayer. We know that God is speaking the word, and that this is the day, the time, the season that God has called us to do great things. We want to make sure that as we are going through and we're praising and thanking and magnifying the Lord, that we actually focus on some of the things, amen, that are required at our hands, amen. And you hear us say it often, don't forget your assignment. Don't abort your assignment. Don't neglect your assignment. It is in this day, this time, this season, that we begin to look at the assignment in a different aspect. And I want you to know that Jesus was born to die. That was his assignment. And too often what we try to do is we want to find an assignment that tells me I can live the good life all my life. I believe that I was going to do great things, and you know, I was looking for the greatness, and you know, everybody told me, and every time I would get up and say something or do something, people would just look at me and say, you know, see it now. And you just been running around just happy because somebody saw great in you. Well, Jesus was going around doing great, and the great that he had to do dealt with the fact that he had to die. Now, what do you do when your greatness means your ultimate demise? See, can you stand up and still be great before the king? Can you still stand up and be great before people, knowing that it is those same people that later on will be speaking, crucifying, killing, and maiming, and, you know, do away with? See, we think about it, but we think about all the good things in life. And I think that sometimes we in Christianity and in in Christendom have not taken time to instruct and train and teach the people that, you know, you're going to do some good things. Amen. You're going to glorify God. But sometimes you're going to have to go through some things. First time someone starts going through, they think that they messed up. They start looking for a remedy to get out of the process. But don't get out the process. Stay in that process. It is that process that will make you. It will cure you, if you will. That word cure is a word that we use when we talk about, like cement that is poured for a foundation. You can't build upon that cement that has been poured until it has been cured. And that cured is a hardening process that causes it to stand up to the weight that will be placed upon it. So it is that as you go through your Christian life, you will go through some things and you are tested and tried, not for your demise, but for your making. Because what God is doing is he's building you up and you become then a valuable asset to the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. But if you don't go through, this process,
yes,
then when you get to the point where you should be tried, you don't have the ability to stand or maintain or to hold the integrity of, because you forsook the process. And that process is a trying thing. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we need to go through. We need to know that this is what God is saying. This is how he's saying it. And we will. And I don't mean maybe. I mean we will. Of a surety, we will go through and do what God says do. Now, I shared with you before. We were dealing with 2 Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
2 Timothy 4. And one is where we got to, and we started dealing there. Amen. I wanted to begin to shift into more of a Christmas message. I pray that the Lord allows me to do so. You know, we are led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I think too often what we do is we try to give the traditional Christmas message, and the Holy Spirit saying, oh, okay, yes. Thank you for the recognition that Jesus was born and some of the things about his birth. But we need to deal with what we're doing after his death. Amen. His death and his resurrection. Church is so befuddled right now. That's the word I want to use there. Because if you talk to three Christians, you can't get a clear answer on anything. Amen. And it's not that we don't know. It's that we sometimes think we know too much.
Mm.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So when we are going forth, we talk a lot as if we know a lot. But we really demonstrate that we know very little. And I've heard it said, and I say it myself, it's not what you say, it's what you do. So you can tell me and say a whole bunch of stuff and make it look real good, but after all is said and done, actions speak louder than words. So when you tell me that you are a child of God, mm-hmm. and then you show me that you don't even know who he is, we got that real problem right there. The world is also having that same issue with us. We're saying the right things, but then we're turning around and we're showing the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And God is trying to get us to demonstrate his glory, his power, his majesty in the earth. We are, and I'll say it again and again, we are the representation of Christ in the earth. We are his representative. We are the ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Amen. We have the ability then to speak on the kingdom's behalf. But if our character and behavior is out of alignment, then it causes us to have a hardship in foreign lands dealing with diplomatic character or diplomatic issues. There you go. Amen. I wish I had time to really go through some things and look at it. There is an in the news Indian diplomat who was I guess stopped and arrested, you know, in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was arrested, she's the daughter of another diplomat. And what happened is they stopped her and they searched her. And I think they said they even strip searched her.
Oh, God.
And it's causing all kinds of problems. There's pictures that they was putting up that our embassy over in India is in danger. You know, there's talk of retaliation. There's all kind of barricades and other things that have been put up and put in place. They're showing how the police over there have started to remove those barricades and everything from the embassy. You know, now, understand, we're talking about a diplomatic situation, and you know, and that person who was over here for whatever reason, whatever they did, that situation escalated from a local concern to an international, a major diplomatic issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's bring this back to the kingdom of God. If we are the children of God, supposed to be demonstrating the grace of God, the character of God, the kingdom of God, and we're out doing any and everything, then what message are we really sending to those people?
Yes.
The barricades were being removed because before they had been erected as a safety measure. Okay, when there was a problem, but you know, right now they're moving those barricades out the way.
Yeah,
you know, in other words, you know, wait a minute, we as the local government can't protect you and the behavior, because that behavior is an atrocity, you know, to us. It is an affront to us, and we're not going to protect you while you are. So here some of you are walking around with your titles, walking around with that chip on your shoulder. Ain't nobody made it except you. You know, you the only one. Out of everybody, God chose you to make you the one. You know, and nobody else is on your level. You know, we all got to try to get there one day. Well, listen, you're supposed to be representing the kingdom of God. Let's get back to representing his kingdom. Paul here in the second Second Timothy 4:1 told him, I charge you therefore before God and yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, in other words, you've seen everything, third chapter. You have to go back and look at it yourself. Amen. Starting 10 verse, read it all the way down. He said, listen, you've seen, you know what to do. You know, you're going to have to endure some things, go on through it. But your responsibility as one who represents the kingdom is to do what you're supposed to do. You know, here it is. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and appearance and his kingdom. I just talked about diplomacy. Amen. And when I talk about diplomacy, sin is sin. We're not making no excuses for it. We're not jumping on people, calling everybody a sinner. You know, a person will sin. Amen. So you hate to sin, but you try to redeem those who are sinning. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So we're not throwing you away because you sin. We seek your redemption. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We get it right with God. Amen? Nobody's perfect. We all have faults and flaws. And, you know, if you can go through one day and not see, say, think, do wrong, then you have ascended to a different level than the rest of humanity. Amen? Because there's a day somebody crossed your path and you thought, you know what? There's a day somebody did something and you know what? You know, see, it's those things right there we have to be realistic about, amen, without the Lord on our side, we would fail, we would fall short, amen. Some of us act like we have gone the whole day, no evil have I done. So no matter how she walked past you, you ain't see her. No matter how he came by you and spoke in that tone, hey, you know, whatever it was, you didn't hear it, you didn't see it. Okay, and the devil is already speaking to you before they came around a corner. Their scent caught your nostrils before the vision of them did. Amen. And the enemy knows how to make sure your nose is wide open. Amen. So, you know, somebody cut you off in traffic and your mind went straight to, ooh, I wish I, before you could even think it. You know, before you could even say it and think that maybe I shouldn't be saying it, you thought it, said it, and gave a look. Amen? None of us are perfect. But we still have to deal with a charge. Amen? What is this charge? Second verse. Preach the word. Now, let me just go back. Mark, the 16th chapter, 15th verse. It says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The wife and I were speaking, and we were talking about these different people before they get into different pulpits and had an audience and could talk to anybody. There are some people we know who used to go out to the park and preach to the dogs and preach to the squirrels and preach to the trees. Amen. And people used to call them crazy, but they sure enough knew how to get in touch with God. Mm-hmm. See, that preached to every creature. Notice he didn't say preach to every man. He didn't say preach to every human. He said preach to every creature. Why every creature? Go back to the garden. What did he do? He created them. Brought them to Adam. Asked Adam what were they? Whatever they said it was, it's what they were. When man fell, everything was put out the garden. But what he was put out the garden were the things that he had dominion over. He gave him dominion, told him to go forth, subdue. You see that? So when Jesus is speaking to him, he's telling him again, telling us again, listen, I'm giving you authority in my name. Go forth, subdue. You see it?
That's it.
So what do we subdue? We'll go back to the beginning and see what it was he gave us. He gave us the ability to have dominion over all. Mm-hmm. You see that? Subdue, conquer. You see? In that subduing and conquering and having dominion, there was a responsibility to upkeep, care for, and provide for. Amen? So you can't just get without worrying about taking care of, maintaining, having good stewardship over, huh? Sometimes you need to give, amen? Remember that he gave to you and you need to be ready to give to someone else. This whole season is about giving. And when we go through the Bible, we look at the story of redemption, man's fall, God's a plan that he puts in place to bring man back towards him and then ultimately back into his presence. When we deal with redemption, we deal with the Levitical law. Mm-hmm. We deal with the fact that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We deal with the fact that at a certain point, God decided that he was going to call out a people for himself. Yeah. That would be the children of Israel. Amen. And as he began to deal with them, he called them to himself, and then he sent to them Moses. He gave to Moses the commandments and showed him the plan of the tabernacle. See, you have to see all of this, because this isn't just a scripture that we pull out and we try to run with and try to make it, oh, so wonderful. You have to understand that the plan of salvation was laid out before us, huh? But was fulfilled in Christ. You see that? Because during the Levitical law, every offering, every sacrifice had to be for the priest themselves. Before they could go in and offer for others, they had to first go in and offer for themselves. Amen? So there had to be the sin offerings. There had to be the purification. There had to be the washing. There had to be the other things that were taken care of. It had to be done for the priest and then for the people. You see that? So here it is, before there can be a blessing for us, there must first be a blessing for the priest. And Jesus Christ, now being our high priest, had to go through first for himself and then for us. So he had to die first for us. You see that?
Yes.
It was his shedding of blood. See, that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world was Jesus Christ himself. Huh? And so it was done. He's up under the, he's there slain before the foundations of the world. And while he's there, the angels and all creation is saying, glory be to God. Thank God for the lamb that was slain. Amen. Blessed be the lamb. Amen. So they're sitting there, they're worshiping the lamb. And then we come into the annals of time. And we begin to deal then with the slaying of the lamb. See, when we see this, we see it as something that people say, oh, well, that just happened. Well, you know, that has markings of some paganistic practices that may have been going on in the day. Well, that may be true, amen, because Satan has always emulated heaven, not the other way around. See, the problem that Lucifer had was that he was given a task and a charge, an assignment. Notice what Jesus said in John, the 4th chapter, and about the 33rd verse, is it? Amen.
Yes.
Where he said, my food is to do the work of him that sent me and to finish his work. In other words, I have been given an assignment, and my satisfaction is in completing the assignment. Amen. So Lucifer was given an assignment, and he failed his assignment. So then he sees Adam given an assignment, and he goes after him to deter him from completing his assignment. And he was successful. He went through Eve to trick Adam. Lord, help us today. See, the plan that Lucifer or that Satan or the devil uses today, because he's not Lucifer anymore. He fell from that position. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. That the devil uses is the same one that he's always used. Amen? He applies it in different ways. But the Bible tells us that we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices.
Yeah.
So as we're looking at what he's trying to do, we know what God has already given us to do. We stand with our assignment, and we are victorious because we don't fail at his traps, his tricks. Amen?
Right, right. That's good.
See, so we're watching this and we see it. Jesus Christ then becomes the lamb that's slain. Amen? And when we go into Exodus, we see that at the Passover, amen, there was a lamb that was chosen. There had to be a lamb without blemish. It had to be certain attributes had to be with this lamb. It was chosen, and then it was slain, and the blood was caught. No bones could be broken. You see, it had to be, the blood was important because they had to take that blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And thereby, when the death angel came, it would see the blood, and it would pass over. And now in our lives, when Jesus Christ was put upon the cross, we see that upon his head and on his hands and on his feet, that the blood flowed from there. And when God sees the blood now, our sins are covered. And what we should get is passed over us. Mm. See, it is the grace of God that covers us. It is the blood of God that actually blots out our transgression, because the blood is so thick that when the ledger comes up with all of our charges on it, the blood simply covers the charges. And because the charges cannot be read through the blood, the charges are rendered null and void. See, it's not that we're perfect. And that's the problem that people have with Christians today, is that they see us as people walking around acting as if we're perfect. No, my brother, no, my sister, it's not that we're perfect. We recognize that we're not perfect, but we recognize also that if it hadn't been for the blood being applied to our sins, see, Paul was speaking and he was going through and he's saying, you know, there are some things in our life that we had done. Amen. He said, you know, there are certain things that we can't have. Amen. Huh? Yes. We have to see what he was saying here. Let's go. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's look at it here. Let's go back a little bit. All right. Let's go to the 8th verse. I think ninth verse. There you go. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And see, this is the thing. When you look at places where people are saying, well, you know, the Lord working on me, the Lord got to help me. Okay, yeah, that's right. He's working on you, but allow the work to actually happen. Stop making excuses for bad behavior. Amen? You see this? It says, do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. And I think if I start right there, we could probably just wipe out half of the people who are walking around self-righteous right now. Because you are fornicating in your hearts, in your minds, and everything else. Some of you are actually fornicating in the flesh. Wow. Amen? See, you think that, you know, she shouldn't have walked around. The Lord knew that, you know, I don't know why the Lord tempted me by having her. He shouldn't have made somebody that fine. Wait a minute, hold on. Get your flesh in check. Huh? While you sitting there talking about, oh, well, I don't know. You know, God got to help me. I ain't perfect. See, you're trying to make an excuse for a rendezvous. Huh? But that rendezvous can't happen, amen, if you're really judged by the Spirit of God, amen. If the Holy Spirit is really tapping on your shoulder and reminding you of the precepts of God, reminding you of your assignment, reminding you of your relationship. And let me tell you something. I've been married for about 20 years, over 20 years now, amen. And no one has to remind me that I'm married because I know I'm married. So that means when they come around me fine, cute, otherwise, I can notice that you're fine, cute, and otherwise. But I ain't looking at you like that, amen, because for 20 years my dedication has been to my wife. Now here we are talking about our dedication is to Jesus only. We love you, we worship him, we crying out, we were wailing and everything else, purging and everything else, we making a whole lot of noise. But after all is said and done, the first time that you get an opportunity to sin, you forget that you're a Christian. But you've been saved for 20 years. The Lord's still helping you with the same thing you got saved from. Brother and sister, you need to just go ahead and give that on up. Amen. Either you're going to get rid of it, or you're going to allow him to work on you, or you're just going to sit down and just say, well, I ain't getting rid of this. This is just me. See, when you get to that last stage, you're probably where most people know that you already are. Politically correctness does not make it in kingdom. Amen? You can't say it because you know that it's proper to say it and still not do it. He's looking for your words to measure up to your actions. Huh? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? You are talking about, I'm about kingdom. But everything about you says everything. kingdom. See, people who preach this, you know, I've already dealt with the fact that you're going to go through some things in your life. What happens when they assassinate your character? Can you still preach an unadulterated gospel? Mm-hmm. When people try to run your name down and everything about you and everything touching you, can you still say nice things to people and smile in their face? When they just spit at you and spit on you and made sure that you knew it came from way deep down in their throat, can you still stand up and say, God bless you anyhow? The Bible said, bless those who despitefully use you. Can you still say, bless them, Lord? Or are you waiting on the Lord to come in and slay all of your enemies? See, that's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, we were speaking about our enemies and slaying them. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, listen, I come to give you a new commandment, and that is that you love one another. So when people do you wrong, bless them. People curse you, bless them. People wrongfully misuse you, bless them. That goes against your nature, don't it? That's because your nature is still too alive. So what happens is God causes people to put your name in their mouth so he can test how much of your nature has really died and submitted to him.
Woo, that's a little hard.
That's harsh. I've been waiting. Reading all the songs where David's talking about till my enemies become my footstool. I've been waiting. I got my special slippers I'm going to put on that day. Listen, you ain't going to never get to wear those slippers. Amen. Because that day is not coming. Jesus gave us a commandment to bless those. Huh? Bless your enemy. Turn the other cheek. See, we don't want to hear this message. It's not popular. It doesn't fit with our theology. God is going to destroy my enemies.
Well, talk about it.
God's going to give you a stronger witness for your enemies, so even after all that they have done, you'll be the Joseph. Amen? They did everything they could to destroy you. They did everything but kill you. But in the time of need, in the time of famine, God will make sure that they have to come back and see what God has done. Notice it's not what you have done. They will come back and see what God has done and give God glory for preserving your life. See, some of y'all can't go forward because you're still waiting on that day to happen. And God said, listen, I have other things that need to be done. You need to be down the road. You need to be readying yourself for the next move that's coming upon the earth. You still can't get over the fact that somebody did you wrong. You're no good for today in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because you won't let your yesterday hurt go. Help us, Jesus. See, you need to read a little bit further before this passage right here. Now, therefore, 7:1, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? I ain't going to accept that they don't know who they messing with. Huh? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? Someone asked me, dealing with some situation, they say, I see you going through, and I just don't know if I could. That's because you don't have the grace on your life that he's placed on my life. The apostles, 1 Corinthians, I do believe 4, he says, listen, y'all got it all, and we ain't got nothing. I think God made us apostles to be a spectacle to all the world. Huh? Even the angels are asking questions. How can they go through all of this and do it? You've been running after this title thinking that this gold chain and these rings and everything else mean something great and wonderful. All it says is that I'm married to a backslidden church. I have an assignment. I have to stick with it regardless of what's going on. Just like God is married to Israel and Jesus is married to the backslider, I'm married to your hard-headedness.
Ooh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Okay, keep on. That's all you got right there. See, I understand my assignment. That's why when you doing crazy and acting all, I can still stand here and smile at you and still proclaim the gospel and speak life into you and pour the balm inside. when you go out and clown out and then the enemy lashes you and you come running back in the house and we got to come in and bind you up and everything else. That's what a good shepherd does, right? When the sheep are out someplace they weren't supposed to be, when a predator gets into the flock, he runs off the predator and then he has to come over and bind up the wounds on the sheep. See, some places y'all go trying to be slick and wonderful. You just ran over here because you heard that they really passing out blessings and prophesying. You go out there and get one of those prophecies and try to make it happen. Self-fulfilling prophecy. It wasn't God. It was what you were trying to do. You always wanted that kind of car. And they came and said, if you give an offering up, you can't even pay your tithe and offering. But there you go, giving all your money, all your rent money, all your utility money to this this shyster that came in town with a title on his name. And you gave it to him, and then they left town with all your goods. And when it didn't come to pass, who did you run back to help keep your lights on and keep you inside of your place? You ran back to the pastor that you didn't want to listen to in the first place. That's what I mean by when you go out places you ain't supposed to be going. Because, see, there are places where my members ask me, hey, I'm thinking about going over to blah, blah, blah. And we'll be like, okay, go ahead. Because we already know in the spirit what they're going to get. Amen. We already know in the spirit what's being preached over there. Amen. I'm not afraid of the sheep going over there because I'm an under shepherd. And if the shepherd Jesus moved the sheep to a different fold, then he's bringing some other sheep into my fold.
Amen.
See, I'm not running after sheep. Amen. I understand how this works. And if I allow Jesus to bring to me who's supposed to be with me, I'll never have the wrong people in my church.
I like that.
Lord, help us today. Lord, this is good. I hope y'all receive the gift of God. This is still about Christmas, amen. Huh?
Amen.
Look what he says here. Tell him first, he said, why don't you rather accept the wrong? Why don't you rather let yourself be cheated, huh? In other words, accept it. Boom. Okay, I'm just wiser. I know not to do business with you at this level no more, amen? But I still love you, and I'm still going on, amen, in the name of Jesus. There are people right now that I know that I shouldn't do anything with because their business is that tacky, amen? The word is that there's no integrity there. Their character is tore up, amen? But when I look at the big picture, there are souls that need to be reached. And they're never going to see Christ through them. My job then is to be a light where there is no light.
Hallelujah.
Amen. See, when your assignment goes past your pride, when your assignment goes past what people are saying about you, then you'll get into the glory part of God. Amen. See, the glory is what comes upon us in our downfall, in our shortcomings, in our inabilities. It is what covers us. It is what helps us to do what we need to do. See, miracles, signs, and wonders come where there are miracles, signs, and wonders needed. But if you're too good, too proud to go where a miracle, sign, or wonders needed, then you'll never be able to perform miracles, signs, and wonders. See, we want to be able to tell everybody what happened. But guess what? If you don't go to where it needs to happen, it can never happen. Oh, Lord Jesus. A first, know you yourself do wrong and cheat. And you do these things to your brother. I could preach this in the pulpit, and they never invite me back. Oh, this is just church business, politics. We ain't supposed to be doing church business and church politics. We're supposed to be dealing with kingdom business. Kingdom business. Huh? This is what we need to be focused on. This is why the world don't know what Christ really looked like. Because we've been doing all this craziness and they ain't never seen Christ in us. Amen? We need to get back to this. 2014, we're going to have to learn how to turn the other cheek sometime. Amen? We're going to have to learn how to present Christ properly in the earth.
Yes.
Huh? Time out for your kingdom, and let's start focusing on his kingdom. When you focus on his kingdom, then you'll find out that he'll draw the people that you've been trying to bring in. The Bible says, if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. Amen. So if you are lifting him up in your congregation, then when you're lifting him up, he'll draw people to your congregation.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Yes. So as we're looking at this, as we're seeing this, amen,
mm-hmm.
Let's go into the ninth verse. And that's what we will. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Do not be deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters. And let me talk about this idolaters right quick. When you put your pastor on a pedestal and worship every word that come out of their mouth as if they are flawless and infallible, you're worshiping an idol.
Hmm.
How do you worship an idol? Well, first of all, you have to get alms and offerings and other things and bring and lay at the feet of that idol. Amen. I've never seen a place where they did idol worship where they didn't bring some type of sacrifice to the idol. Huh? You can see this in every culture where they have pagan worship. And idolatry, they always bring something, whether it's a human sacrifice or part of the crop or something. They bring it to whatever they're worshiping, the representative of that. You see that? Now, Jesus has already set up, or God has already set up in the body of Christ, how we are to honor him with our gifts. That's to be brought to the priest. The priest is supposed to do it a certain way. There is a certain portion that the priest gets. Notice it's not the whole offering. Amen? Huh? So when you come and you bring money and you lay it at the feet of the priest and everything, and they're running around and trying to preach harder so you can throw more money at them, and then they take up all of that as their cut, guess what? You just did it wrong, because if you go back to the original where the foundation was set, you find out that the right thigh and other things, see, they don't want to go into all of that. It's too much trouble to go in there and find out how much of this, since we're not offering oxen and goats and sheep. What part of this really belongs to me? So since it's a gray area, I'll just keep the whole thing and the Lord will help us out later. No, you need to go in and ask the Holy Spirit how much of this I should be getting. Amen. It was a percentage that you actually got. Amen. And the tithe belonged to Levi. Oh, Lord, there go most of our churches right there. Because the tithe don't go to Levi. It goes in the general fund with everything else. See, we're not running these things. This church has got instructed us to, and that's why we run into some of these problems. Amen. Okay, but we can worship the man and woman of God. Listen, honor the man and woman of God, but worship God. Amen. What else does it say? Nor idolaters, huh? Remember now, idolatry or adulterers. Amen. Nor adulterers. Nor homosexuals, or sodomites, huh? Wait, I wish I had time to really go into this, because there's people right now telling people that homosexuality is not wrong when the Bible says nothing about it. Well, there it goes, really plain right there, amen. And all that, if you look at it in the original text, catamites. Are those submitting to homosexuals? Okay? Sodomites are male homosexuals. So if you want to know the difference between lesbians and homosexuals, and why this doesn't say this, it's because it does say all that. Homosexuality is sex with the same sex. Sexual relationships with the same sex. That means if I'm male, it's sexual relationships with males. If I'm a female, it's sexual relationship with females. Amen? Nor thieves. I wish I had time to go there. But that will cause another problem. Nor covetous. And I think this covetous right here, when we begin to look at other people's ministries and what they're doing and how they're doing it, you begin to covet what they have. Covet their anointing. Covet what their attendance, and you can't do it until it's up to the level you're coveting. Amen. See, that covetousness right there will cause you some other problems. And we have to understand that God is trying to get us out of all of this. Amen? He didn't call us to that. He did not call us to that. Amen? Huh? What is it? How do we know that you're being covetous? Well, covetous is marked by inordinate desire for wealth or possession or for another's possessions. Second definition is having a craving for possession. Can I just say it like this? For stuff. Oh, wow. I thought covetous was, I ain't trying to get none of his, I'm trying to get my own. No. Look, see, marked by inordinate desire for wealth or possessions or for another's possession. So it's not just wanting all of their stuff or wanting their stuff, it's wanting all of your stuff too. Number two, having a craving for possession. Lord, help us. See, so when you are materialistic in everything that you do and everything that you look at, then you are covetous. Oh, you didn't know that. So this Christmas season, when we're talking about giving and the gift, and you waiting on the gift that is diamonds and pearls and everything else and electronics and all type of other technology, remember now, it's better to give than to receive. But when you trying to give, you know, and you looking at what you're getting, then maybe you have to check to make sure you're not coveting anything. Amen. I remember, and I can't really say who it is. Amen. But their anniversary, church anniversary came around, or pastor's anniversary, and I think they raised money. Everybody gave what they could, and it amounted to maybe a couple of $100, almost $1,000 or so. And when they presented it, the pastor said, is this what y'all really think of me? Is this all y'all think of me? All year long, this is all I do. And y'all come to me for everything, and I've done everything, and this is all that y'all think of me. We're going to do this again. And, you know, y'all got to let me know, because if this is what y'all think of me, then I'll find another church where they can really appreciate the gift of God. They're thinking, wow, if what the people gave was of their best and all that they could give, I'm so happy that Jesus doesn't do us like that. Huh? When we came and we gave him our heart, he didn't say our heart wasn't big enough. When we came and gave him our lives and our soul, he didn't say our soul and our life wasn't big enough. He accepted it and took it and went on with it and began to pour into us and develop us into greater than we were. So even though I came and I gave you a little bit, thinking I gave you a lot, by the time you got done with me, I had given you everything, and I found out that I had more that I was trying to give. See, it's a development. But when you are covetous, it's about the stuff. Okay, I know that's hard. Let's keep going. Nor drunkards. Someone asked me, well, do y'all drink? I said, no. They said, well, you know, you can have a sip. You just don't, you know, you don't drink in excess. Listen, 15 years of policing, I found out something, and that is that line is very thin, and you'll cross it quicker than you knew you went over. Amen? So the best thing to do is not to even bother that line. Amen? See, there are people who try to figure out when is. And, you know, you sometimes, because you have made an excuse to not even look at it in that light, you'll cross that line more often than not. I remember having to do DUI arrests. And in doing those DUI arrests, sometimes I would run into people who were Christians. You know, and they had the Bible there, and the church program and everything else on the seat, and, you know, cross hanging over the rear view mirror and everything else. They were every sense of the word a Christian. Had their favorite Bible verses, everything there. But they were tore up from the floor. So when it came to a field sobriety test, they couldn't quote a scripture, let alone do anything else. What type of witness is that for Christ? Well, I think I drank that much. Well, that's why we don't drink at all. Amen? It's just better not to fool with a level. Huh? So, nor drunkards, nor revelers, and I wish I had time to really get into all of these. Amen? And a reveler is somebody who just, you ever meet somebody who just flat out cuss everybody out? Just, you know, everything about them is blank, blank, blank. Well, they're always stirring up stuff. That's what a reveler is. A reviler. Amen. Extortioners. We know that is, and this extortioner, you know, just like covetous and some of these others need to be idolaters. We need to look at this from a leadership standpoint. Amen. Because some people are doing the work thinking that they're going to get in, but they will not. Because the next word says, will inherit the kingdom of God. So when he said this, he said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Period. There's no comma, no explanation, no other thing you can put in there that would change that around to fit you and your pet sin in there. Amen? We need God. We need him. We need the blood of Jesus applied to our life. And then Paul goes on to say something here, and I like this, because this is why we need Jesus to be born. Thank you, Jesus, for your birth. He says, 11th verse, and such were some of you, but you were washed. How? In the blood of Jesus. But you were sanctified. How? You were sanctified by the Holy Spirit. When he came in, he began to take over and deal with your behavior pattern. And you stopped acting like the world, and you started acting like a kingdom citizen. But you were justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus. You see that? So your justification comes, huh, in the name of Jesus. Wow, we're right back to Jesus, aren't we? Huh? And by the Spirit of our God. So the Father spoke it, the Holy Spirit amended it and began to help you through your process. And Jesus justified you or qualified you to go through it. That's why the birth of Jesus is so important. You see? We're going to get into this a little bit more, because we need to really take this apart a whole lot further. We pull it far enough apart, you'll see all the way through it and understand it and be able to articulate it to someone else. Help them to receive their deliverance. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for this opportunity to minister to these people. Lord, I thank you because you have given us the opportunity to speak life. So we speak it in the name of Jesus. We speak wholeness right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, where there's need, where there's miracles, signs, wonders, healing, deliverance needed, Lord, we speak it, we decree it, we declare it now in the name of Jesus, that awesome, powerful name. It shall happen according to the authority in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray for those who are not saved. We pray that they will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching and a Bible believing church where they can be matured and developed and go on to do the work that you've called them to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There, learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. During this holiday season, we need to do some work across seas over in Africa, over in Kenya, Uganda, and Nigeria. Amen. They need your support, and I need your help. So go there, become a vision partner, and donate to us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and I want you to know that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Happy holidays, and know that we love you as the Lord loves us.